morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of the fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Rachel, do you want to share?
Yeah, good morning. I'm Rachel. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
It's nice to be here, and this is a different experience for me, doing this. But I hope it helps someone and that someone can take something from my story in my recovery. I guess I didn't start drinking until I was about 18 and or 19, and when I was at university, and it was very much social drinking. I don't feel like I drank alcoholically from the start. I don't come from an alcoholic home. Life was pretty good, and I guess in my early 20s, I didn't really have that many consequences from drinking. But I went away in about 2004 on an exchange. I went overseas, and it was the first time I'd been away from my family and friends, and I drank a lot more. And I think something kind of happened to me over that year where I lost control of my drinking, and it was quite baffling. I could never get my drinking back to what it was when I was younger. And so I came back to New Zealand in about 2005 with a drink problem. And I couldn't believe it, really. And so I got introduced to AA. I was 12-stepped into the fellowship in about 2008, and I had a few more consequences from my drinking. I hadn't gone to hospital because of my drinking, nor jail, but I had started to hurt people. I wasn't ready to stop drinking, though. I sort of thought in my mind I'd do this for a little while and sort of clean up a few of the consequences, and then I'd be on my way. And that's what I did. I left to go to England in 2011 and left the fellowship completely. And in that time between 2011 and 2014, all the yets that people had told me about in AAs were happening. I couldn't stop drinking without a detox at the end of my drinking. I would drink in the morning, I would drink before work. I'd lost a lot of friends, my brother needed a break from me. I had time in psychiatric hospitals because of my mental health was so badly affected from drinking. So yeah, I came back to the fellowship in 2014 in England, a lot more willing, but yeah, not willing enough to do what was suggested to me. And so I had to keep going. And it says in the book, you know, that alcohol will be our best teacher, and that was my experience. Every time I drank, it got worse, and it was painful drinking, knowing that AA was here and that it could help if I became more willing. My last drink was last June, and it wasn't any different to any other relapse, really. But something changed for me, and I knew I couldn't keep doing what I had been doing. I'd been going to meetings, been going for coffee with people in AA, but that was really about all. And I needed something to replace alcohol, and the way I was doing it wasn't enough. So I started working the steps, and that was when everything changed for me, really. And I started getting on my knees and praying, and that was also when things changed. And I believe that for me, just stopping drinking is not enough, because my mind forgets, you know, how bad my drinking got. And it will say that it'll be different this time, and that sort of thinking has taken me out drinking a lot, many, many times. So I stay close to meetings and fellowship and people that want to stay sober and have a good life. And I try and give back where I can. It feels like it's early days for me still, to be honest. And I'm on step four again. I haven't yet completed the steps. I've had kind of a year, this last year of recovery. Half has been in England and half has been here. So I got up to step nine before I left. But with my history, I wanted to come back and do step one here. Because I feel that without getting a firm grasp of step one, I kind of have nothing to build the rest of my recovery on. So I was happy to come back and get a new sponsor here and start again. As I said, I can't sponsor people, but there are small things I can do, you know, just seeing if someone's new at a meeting and going to talk to them, and doing dishes, and just small little things that help my recovery and help the fellowship. I definitely don't feel like I've put down drinking and everything's been fine in my life. It's been a lot better, that's for sure. I'm reliable, generally. And I can do simple things, like I couldn't even answer the phone towards the end of my drinking. I couldn't open the door. I couldn't do anything like that. So I can show up and do things that normal people do now. But I still struggle a lot with my, you know, anxiety, and that was a big reason why I drank. It's definitely miles better without alcohol in my system, but I guess I realised that I drank to cover a lot of feelings, and so by taking the alcohol away, I'm still left with those reasons why I drank. So that's what the program's for, and praying and relying on higher power. It doesn't have to be God, I guess. I just call mine God because it's easier. But I know that without this program and a higher power, I would have no chance at staying sober. So I have to stay close, because I feel like I've got some kind of part of my brain missing when it comes to alcohol. It resets and sort of says, that wasn't so bad. It'll be different this time. So I really don't trust my thinking around alcohol, so I try to stay close to the fellowship. Yeah, I'll leave it there. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Rachel. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we had members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And continue on with the sharing. Rexina, do you want to share?
Thank you, Steve. Hi, my name's Rexina and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rexina.
And thank you for having us in here this morning. I'm a bit nervous about sharing. I've done this twice before, but my sponsor asked me, are you willing to go to any lengths to stay sober? And I am. And the way that I stay sober today is to share my message and to try and be of use to other people, because when I came into these rooms, if there was no one there to share their message about what it was like for them, then there would have been absolutely no chance for me at all. And I'm really grateful that those people were there. I really related to Rachel's sharing. My drinking just didn't seem very interesting. My story doesn't seem very interesting. I am so grateful that I came into these rooms when I was in my early 20s. I think I was 21 when I went to my first AA meeting. And it's not the kind of place that I thought I'd ever end up, especially not at 21 years old, because I was a competent person and I had my life sorted, and just for some reason I was always the really psychotic girl that ended up getting way too drunk, having to be looked after and just getting myself into these really, really ugly situations. And I didn't understand why it was happening, and It always happened. I would just start drinking and I would have no idea where it was going to take me. I'd either have a fantastic night, or I would end up locked in a bathroom hurting myself, and hurting the people around me, because I just couldn't stand being in my own head. And it was really painful. And I just didn't see how things could be any different. I thought that was my life. And it was this really fast decline of being young and full of hope to drinking myself to sleep at night with a bottle of wine, because I had no friends. I pushed everyone away and I just hated myself. I hated myself so much. And the only thing that got me to Alcoholics Anonymous was fear. And it wasn't even fear for myself. It was fear that I was going to lose my boyfriend at the time, and I had to do something really drastic to keep him. And that's how I ended up going to my first AA meeting. And I was totally desperate and terrified, so scared. I walked in there. I didn't know anyone. It was a Friday night. It was this funny little room in Hamilton. And this lady shared her story. She shared her story in the meeting about how she'd fallen over and cut her head, and how her husband was sick and tired of her, and that she kept on doing this. And it was really weird, because I didn't think that other people were like that. And this lady was just sharing about the kind of things that I was doing, except I was a lot younger than her. And like, things just started to make sense about why I was the way that I was. I went to see doctors. I went to see psychologists. I've been on antidepressants, and none of those things actually helped me. Probably because I wasn't willing and I lied to them a lot. But once I got to AA, being an alcoholic was like the missing piece of the puzzle. I didn't want what they were offering to me. The solution that they were offering to me was too clean and too dull, because I was still in my early 20s and I couldn't picture life without alcohol in it. It was just impossible, because I didn't have anything else. I didn't have anything else, and I didn't trust what they had to say. I didn't trust that it would work for me. And what happened was I left those rooms and it got worse. It got so much worse. I ended up sectioned in a psych ward, and I don't know how that happened. That wasn't the plan. It just wasn't the plan. And I thought that I was the sane one and that they were all crazy. And people share that really, they share that really commonly in AA. That's a common part of some people's story. But none of my non-alcoholic friends have been in that situation before. And I came up to Auckland and I went to rehab because I had no other option. I couldn't stay sober by myself. I didn't know how to look after myself. I didn't know how to get up in the morning. I'd lost my job. I wasn't capable of feeding myself. I was completely useless. I was like a child. And then I moved to Auckland and started this new life, and I experienced recovery for the first time, and it was amazing. And that's when I got this glimpse that maybe recovery is possible for a person like me. Maybe I can get sober and live a happy life. And, you know, I left that rehab and AA wasn't really one of the options that I wanted to go with. I just went because I had to go. I didn't enjoy it. And I drank again because I didn't know that once I stopped drinking, that all of those things inside of me that my low self-esteem, my anger, my rage, my victim personality, I didn't know that those things wouldn't fix themselves by not drinking. When the alcohol is taken away, I'm still left with me. And that sounds like such a cliche, but it drove me crazy. And I could go to an AA meeting and I would be great, but for the rest of the day, I was just an anxious mess, analysing everything that I did and everything that I said to people. And, you know, after I picked up, that's when I got desperate enough to actually give this AA thing a shot. And that was nearly 5 years ago, and I haven't left. And getting sober was the hardest thing that I've ever done. Just starting at day one and then carrying on to day two and then reaching the milestone of day 30. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. But I can't even articulate what it's done for me. People who have done it know and they understand. And, like, I try my best to explain what it's like to people who haven't had that experience yet. Just so you know, just keep going. Don't leave until the miracle happens. This every time that something hard happens and I push through it, even just coming in here this morning, I just feel so much richer afterwards, and it just builds my self-confidence, my self-esteem. I just feel like a really useful person, and I never had that feeling before. I always felt like I was a burden and a drain on society, and now I don't feel that way. And it's not what I expected to get from Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the last thing that I expected to get. And today it's the most important thing in my life. When I got here, I was in debt. My parents were paying for my bills because I had no job. I think I was on the benefit. I had pushed all my friends away, and I hated myself. And slowly, very slowly, I started to get some kind of self-worth. I asked this woman to be my sponsor, and she took me through the steps. And I have a sponsor today, and we're continually working the steps, and I'm trying to put that stuff into my life. And a couple of years ago, I met someone really lovely, and we just bought our first home together. We have a little dog. I really love my life today, and I love people around me, and I don't hate anyone. I don't blame people. Like, I know today that the actions that I take give me things. Like, it's whatever I do today is going to affect me later on, and it might be tomorrow, it might be in the next hour, but whatever decision I make and whatever situation I place myself in is what I'm going to get. So when I'm surrounded by good people, when I try and make good decisions based on this feeling that I get from my higher power, then it just leads on to this really enjoyable life, and I wouldn't change it for anything. And I'm grateful to be an alcoholic because I get to be this great, like, this great person instead of a mediocre person just thinking about myself all the time. So I'll just leave that there, and thank you so much for having us in today, Steve.
Thanks, Rexina. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last sharer this morning is Linda. Do you want to share?
Thanks. Good morning, everybody. My name is Linda, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Linda.
My story is probably the same as Rachel's and the same as Rexina's, except mine's different too. But the fantastic thing about this program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, is that it can be interpreted for every person from every walk of life, from every age group, from every gender. I could go on. And I was one of those people that both Rachel and Rexina have talked about, that, you know, AA wouldn't be for me. Sure, I had a drinking problem. I'd been told I had a drinking problem. I suppose I always thought I could sort this out for myself. And what was my drinking problem like? It was just one of those things that I'd pick up a drink when I was happy. I'd pick up a drink when I was sad. I would pick up a drink when the phone rang. I would pick up a drink when someone came around. In other words, I didn't have a situation in my life that I didn't need, that I had to have a drink. There was no situation that I didn't have to pick up a drink. And I never really thought about it, and I'm a much older person than the other two girls. I never really thought about it. And I often used to wonder, why is everybody else's glass full and mine's empty? Why did they get more wine than me? It wasn't that at all. It was because I was drinking quickly. I didn't really, for a long, long time, I was in my 60s when I finally got sober. And this was over a long period of time that my behavior was like this. Upon reflection, I can see now some of the terrible mistakes I made, some of the shocking choices I made, how it affected my family, my children, my relationships. I could go on and on and on. Ultimately, of course, it was affecting me. And I lost my self-esteem. I lost my will, really, to do anything. I still performed. I still operated. I still, you know, life still went on. But my life went on in a bit of a vacuum, in a bit of a haze. And I did all the things that mothers and wives and daughters are supposed to do and friends are supposed to do. But everything I did was at half measure. Nothing I did was 100%, because what I was focusing on pretty much all day, every day, was the effect of alcohol and what alcohol was doing for me. In the morning, I'd be waking up thinking, oh my goodness, I really shouldn't have had that last glass of wine last night. By mid-afternoon, I'd be thinking, oh gosh, wasn't that bad, dear? Gosh, you'll be fine. Anyhow, you're meeting so-and-so at 5 o'clock, have a glass of wine and you'll be fine. You know, everything revolved around wine. My life was really just this tiny wee circle, and I never ever recognized it. What I was recognizing was the fact that you know, my life was very shallow. I was starting to recognize that my life was getting very shallow. And I guess the long story cut very short is that I began to loathe myself so much because I could see that alcohol was taking control over me 100%. And every time I tried to stop, I couldn't. I couldn't. I absolutely couldn't. I went to rehabilitation centres, had a month in a rehab, and I'd come out of there thinking, gosh, that was easy, oh well, and off I'd go again with them, because the same as what Rexina was saying, as much as I was introduced to a 12-step program through the recovery, the rehabilitation centre, I was too clever for that. You know, I didn't need that sort of recovery. I'd be able to do it all by myself. And sure enough, I'd relapse. And do you know what? I'd relapse worse than the last time. And every time I relapsed, it was worse. And that took me into hospital. And that took me to a police station. And that took my daughter and my son away from me. And that just drove me to such despair that I tried to commit suicide in a very spectacular fashion, I might add. Someone was looking after me that day because I didn't die. I'm here today. And from that moment on, my life turned around. The reason I come and talk to people, the reason I go to meetings, the reason I go and help as many people as I possibly can is because I realize that recovery is the best thing that ever happened to me. Recovery and practicing recovery exactly as it is suggested to us by the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and practicing the program efficiently and regularly and pretty much on a daily basis is what has bounced me back into life and bounced me back into a type of life that I never dreamed possible. And for me to say that at now 60-ish, I wouldn't have it any other way, you know? For me, it's just the most amazing thing that ever happened. And I think someone else just mentioned before, you know, I'm actually grateful that these things have happened to me, because if they didn't happen to me, if they hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't have the appreciation of this amazing life that actually was laying itself out to me on a daily basis from the very day I was born. But I do appreciate it now. And on a daily basis, I do everything that is recommended to me. And those things do include, as the other girls have said, you know, it does include service. It does include helping others. You wouldn't believe how helping others has helped me in my recovery. It's just been one of the most rewarding, the most amazing things that I think I've ever done. Prayer and meditation. We don't have to believe in God, we can, but we can just believe in something that's a power that's greater than ourselves, because there is, look around you, there are so many things that are just so wondrous that I personally just have to say, Linda, look around you. This is a life that you have never dreamed possible, and it's all because of the power of your higher power, the power of the faith that you have in that higher power, the power of the faith that you have in Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And by doing the things that are recommended to us, my life doesn't live entirely around Alcoholics Anonymous, but it certainly is a part of my day every day. I have a wonderful, wonderful selection of friends in AA. I also have a huge group of friends outside of AA. And between the two of those, I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams. Thank you for asking us in today, Steve. It's been wonderful.
Thanks, Linda. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we've had members of our fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area, or you can log on to aa.org.nz. And in the drop-down box under meetings list, there's a list of all meetings right throughout the Greater Auckland area. We have about 140 meetings each week in the Greater Auckland area. Or that list will also give you a list of meetings right throughout the whole country. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.